So in Vedanta, we talk about control of senses, control of the mind. And so people sometimes get this impression that we are against enjoyment, that we are not supposed to have fun or not supposed to enjoy life. And that is sometimes conveyed. In fact, Vedanta tells us that your nature is Sat Chit Anand, existence, consciousness, bliss. So your own nature is bliss. So joy should be a 24-hour experience for us. So a true Vedantin lives in that bliss, lives in that joy constantly. But those of us who are on the path, it is a stepwise process. In the beginning, and even afterwards, you know, if you go out for a pizza or go out for ice cream or you buy a new car or a new dress or a new piece of jewelry, you have joy. There's nothing wrong with that. We are not saying that one should become a monk and not go anywhere, not do anything. But these objects will give us a little bit of joy, but it will be a temporary joy. It will wear off. The new dress I have worn a few times, the car when it gets a little old, or a new friend, or even a spouse. You know, the joy is temporary, and then sooner or later, the joy is... So that one has to understand that anything that is temporary, anything that is an object, will give me temporary joy, and there's nothing wrong with that. We're not saying that one should have a boring life. Then a little higher than that is joy of selfless service, where I'm still getting a lot of joy, where I'm helping others, or doing some service. And there what happens is that the person's inner joy, he or she then shares with the world. If I have extra money, I share that. If I have time, I share my time. If I can do labor, I do labor, build a house for the homeless. So that joy is higher, because that joy is now not only for me, but I'm sharing it with others. Whoever I help, that person also gets joy, and then that person may be inspired to go out and help others. So the joy of unselfish service is higher than the joy in acquiring objects. So that is the second step. And the third is an enlightened master, a soul who has known their true self, who has become one with the true self and become one with the Lord within, where he experiences total self, you know, that he sees myself in everybody, because everybody is that. All of us are that divinity, that humanity, that God principle is there equally in every one of us. It is there in plants, birds, animals, fish, humans. So when this person discovers God's presence within, then he or she becomes a fountain of joy, where they spontaneously give joy to others. Not with the desire that I want something, or even a desire that I should help. You know, that also is a desire. May I serve the world. This person serves the world without even having the desire. It's spontaneous service. And so his joy is then shared with everyone. So there are steps of joy. And that is what I wanted to clarify, that it is okay to have fun. I mean, obviously, that's why I tell so many jokes in my class, to make people laugh. So the idea is that laughter is the best medicine, and there is nothing wrong in having joy. And that point I wanted to clarify, because it was brought up by somebody. And today we are going to finish the sixth chapter. As we know, the sixth chapter is the yoga of meditation, dhyana yoga. And in that, the Lord Bhagwan Sri Krishna told us about the technique of meditation, what are the obstacles, why we should meditate, what are the benefits. And the highest goal of meditation is that Yo mam pasyati sarvatra sarvam cha mai pasyati tasya hamna pranashyami sacha mena pranashyati. So to see the Lord everywhere, once you discover, can you close the door? Once you discover Lord's presence within, then it is very easy to see the Lord everywhere. And the Lord, again, you know, it's that total Brahman, the total consciousness, is neither male nor female. It is the life principle, the consciousness, the self. For those of you who are new, I'll just summarize this chart, which we use quite often. It's called the BMI chart, the body, mind, and intellect. With the body, I perceive the objects. With the mind, I feel the emotions. And with the intellect, I think the thoughts. And vasanas are my desires, the tendencies. And om is God's presence within us. So that is our... So one who discovers God within, then he becomes one with all. And then he sees the oneness in everybody, just as all the saints we see, they preach that. Jesus also said, see, love thy neighbor as thyself. What he meant self is this Lord or consciousness within is the same in everybody. So today we'll do the last two verses where the Lord glorifies the path of meditation. Why the path of meditation is the most superior according to... Actually, any path can take us upwards. The path of service, the path of knowledge, the path of love. But meditation is a direct path, because in meditation we go beyond the BMI, the OET, and this perceiver, feeler, thinker goes beyond the vasanas, beyond his mind and intellect, to connect with the Lord that is within us at all times. So we say, I haven't seen God. Well, God is with us all the time. He's closer than anybody. He's closer than your child, closer than your spouse. He is me. So that's why to see God, all you have to do is, I am alive, and that's why I know God. That's why I see God. So it's very simple. So today we'll do the verse number 46 and 47. And then if we have time, we'll do some guided meditation. So since we are ending the chapter, then next week we'll start the chapter 7. So chapter 6, verse number 46. Tapasvibhyo dhiko yogi, jnani bhyo pimato dhikaha, karmibhyaschadhiko yogi, tasmad yogi bhavarjuna. Together, tapasvibhyo dhiko yogi, jnani bhyo pimato dhikaha, karmibhyaschadhiko yogi, tasmad yogi bhavarjuna. So here Bhagavan uses the word yogi, yogi can be used in many places, like karma yogi, jnana yogi, but here he's talking about dhyana yogi, the meditator who has advanced on the path of meditation and knows his true self. So tapasvi are the people who do austerities, who stand on one leg, who fast for long periods of time, who do all kind of strict penance, stay out in the heat and cold and all. So that is called a tapasvi. So he says tapasvi bhyo, more than a tapasvi, adhika. Adhika means more. Adhika is used in all quite a few Indian languages. So more than tapasvi is yogi. So here a meditator is more advanced than a person who does austerities. And how about a person who gets knowledge? Jnani bhyo. Even more than a jnani, bhyopi adhik, my mata is, mata means, here he says it is considered. So Bhagavan Sri Krishna says it's not only what I am saying, but over the, you know, this knowledge is thousands of years old, different rishis and great masters have said this. So he's not only saying it's me, but it is the knowledge that has come down from. So when he says mata means it is believed by these great masters, that more than a jnani, more than a person of knowledge, is a yogi. And how about those who do karma yoga, and how about those who do rituals? So rituals are also called karmas, and karmas are also karma yoga, the path of selfless service. So karmi bhyash cha, even more than a karma yogi or a ritualist, adhiko yogi. Yogi is superior even to that. So he's superior to the austerities, man doing austerities, one who is doing knowledge, one who is doing karma yoga, one who is doing rituals, the yogi is superior to all of them. Tasmat, tasmat means therefore, yogi bhava arjuna, become a yogi, become a meditator. So he's encouraging Arjuna to meditate and blessing him. It is his blessings. So why does Bhagavan say that? We'll go over that today. And the first point is all these paths are glorious. So we are not putting down. We are not saying that the path of austerities is not good, or the path of study is not good, or the path of rituals, path of karma yoga, all have to be done. And they should be done depending on your interest. Somebody may be interested in service. Somebody may be interested in reading. Somebody, you know, wants to develop self-control. That is good. But all of them help to quieten the mind, reduce the vasanas, the selfishness. And once the mind is quietened, then such a mind is able to connect with the Lord. So all paths are glorious. All paths lead to the same goal. It's like when you want to reach the top of a mountain, you know, there's a tortuous road. Somebody may want to hike up, you know, somebody hikes up the mountain. Another person takes a motorcycle. Another person is fast. He can take a fast car. Another person takes a helicopter and directly reaches the peak. All four have reached the peak. It is depending on your equipment, you know, whether you want to hike or whether you want to go by bike. So all of these paths are glorious, but here he's glorifying the path of meditation. And it's like ABC, just as a child goes to school and is learning ABC, and he's been in school only 4 days and his teacher gives him a book where it has the, you know, pictures on it. So he says, A for apple, B for ball, C for cat. Now, he doesn't know how to read, but he can see the picture. He says, apple, ball, cat. Oh, so parents get very happy. Oh, my son is able to read. Abhi char din, he's just been there 4 days. But he's reading the picture. So that is the first stage. And then slowly he will study. He will go to high school. And then he will go to college and maybe do PhD in English. And then become a professor and, you know, teach. And he can come up with his own ideas. So same way, these paths are stepwise. So he says that the first step is the path of austerities. Now, austerities within moderation are good. So some amount of fasting. Not excessive, where, you know, your body is becoming weaker, then you some amount of discipline, get up in the morning and meditate, you know, reduce, you know, oversleep. But that doesn't mean I shouldn't sleep at all. You know, I just sleep for 2-3 hours and then I have to get up, or I couldn't go to bed until midnight someday and then I have to get up at 4 to meditate. So the body is our only instrument to serve the Lord. And the body has been given by us not only to serve the Lord, but to realize. So the body is the most important equipment. One should not pamper it, but one should nourish it, eat healthy food, healthy thoughts, healthy emotions. I remember one gentleman stayed at our house and he had used to go to Swami Chinmayananda's classes. And so he had heard that I am not the body. You know, somehow he heard, but he didn't get the full significance of it. So he was visiting, some Swamiji was in Bakersfield. So he asked us whether he can stay at our house because we had met him in some camp. He said, yeah, you can stay and attend the lectures. So he used to attend the lectures and at night he would sleep at our house. One day I was about to lock the doors at about 10 or 11 o'clock at night and I saw him sitting outside in the veranda just in his swimsuit. So I said, what happened? He said, I just took a bath in the pool. It was 10 o'clock at night in winter, freezing water. He said, oh, I enjoyed my swim. I said, how come? Aren't you cold? He said, oh, I'm not the body. You know, this is a foolish understanding. You torture your body in the middle of the night in a winter day, go in the pool. So that is a wrong understanding. You know, to think, yes, you know, one should not excessively pamper the body, overeat, but one should within moderation. So self-control is very important. Talking about self-control reminds me of a story. So this man was drinking in a bar and this nun comes in, starts yelling at him, you know what, you are here and you're drinking, you're an alcoholic, don't you know drinks are very bad for you, blah, blah. Half an hour she shouts at him. So this guy, he didn't want to quit. So after half an hour, he says, "Can I buy you a drink?" He asked the nun. So she says, "Me? Yeah, let me buy you a drink." She says, "I cannot drink in front of everybody all like this." He said, "I'll tell you what, I'll go to the bartender and bring it in a coffee cup. And so nobody knows and you can have a drink." So he goes and asks the bartender, "Can you give me a vodka in a coffee cup?" So the bartender makes it. He says, "Oh, you mean to tell me the nun is back again?" So self-control, we give lectures to others, but we also have to learn to self-control. So that is the first step. A person who is living a life of moderation, like Buddha taught us. You know, first he was also torturing the body, but then he said, live a life of moderation. Then the next to that is knowledge. Knowledge is not the highest knowledge. One is the knowledge of who am I? I am that consciousness. But a person who has book knowledge, you know, who is a professor of Sanskrit in a university, and he has studied all the Upanishads, all the Bhagavad Gita, he's able to speak about them, but does not have the inner experience. He has not progressed inwardly. That's why a teacher is said to be, he should be a Brahmanishtha. He should know the Shrotriya Brahmanishtha. He should know the scriptures and himself also have experience or at least is progressing inward. So such a person who only has book knowledge and has not progressed, has not received the paramartha, the highest experience, then that is called a jnani, who is just a knower, is not a practicer. Then higher than that is a person who does service and rituals. Karma can be both. Karma can be translated as service, karma yoga, or karma can be translated as rituals. Now, those are very good. You know, those are very good. One must do service, one must do prayers, one must do rituals, one must read the scriptures, one must practice self-control. But when we are doing service or when we are doing rituals, it should be unselfish. Because sometimes person doing service may do it in a very selfish way. What can I get out of it? Or more than that, it may fatten his ego. You know, oh, I am doing so much good for humanity. I am helping so many people. Or when he's doing rituals and prayers, he say, you know, I am the most holy. I go to church every Sunday. I do prayers every day. I, you know, do Ekadashi Vrata and this and that and all. So if that knowledge or if that practice is going to give you more ego and arrogance, then it defeats the purpose. That's why it is said, Vidya Dadati Vinayam. The more knowledge you have, the more humble it should make you. Because the more you realize that how great is the Lord and how insignificant am I. And I am just a humble servant. That attitude, unless it comes, your knowledge is useless. So that's what they're saying, that it should be, a knowledge should A, quieten your mind, reduce your vasanas, and take you inward. And same thing when I'm practicing putting swaha in the fire, Sri Krishna says, when you're studying this knowledge, in the Gyan Agni, you give all your karmas, you dedicate to the Lord within, the fire within. So it is symbolic. Even though I'm offering it outside, I'm offering it to the Lord within. Similarly, when I'm serving the world, I see Bhagwan in every one of them. I see the Lord in every creature. So when whoever I help, I am helping the one God. And this he will explain in more detail in the next verse. So the point is that a yogi, when he is deep in meditation and when he connects with the self, then slowly his ego disappears. He becomes one with the Lord. And that's why when we are in the presence of these great saints, you feel the Lord's presence. That's why Raman Maharishi, I mentioned before, he never traveled anywhere. Once he achieved enlightenment, he just stayed in the temple, under the Arunachal mountain. And he just stayed there. And thousands of people used to come and visit him. He would be sitting in his reading a book or just sitting in his meditative samadhi, and people would walk by, and just by being in his presence, all their questions were answered. They would bring a list of questions, and when they sat in front of him, they say, "I have no question because I'm seeing God right here." So that is the power of this yogi. One, of course, Raman Maharishi himself meditated for many, many years. And not only that, but he, at a very young age, he took up to meditation. He used to go into samadhi when he was a teenager, which means he must have done in his previous birth to progress so fast. But the point is that is the glory of the yogi. All these steps are good. You know, you do some, live a life of self-control, moderation, that's good. And when your mind becomes a little quiet, then you are able to study. So you with the body, you do some self-control. With the intellect, you study about him. With the mind, you do the rituals. And also with the body, you can do karma yoga. So when all those things are done, then you find that meditation becomes easier. People say, "I have a hard time to meditate." Why do we have a hard time to meditate? Because our mind is racing. So the more one thinks about the Lord, the more one chants his name, the more one remembers God, slowly the mind becomes quiet. And when you do this puja or do these rituals, then also your mind becomes very quiet. That's why in meditation, we give certain steps to quieten the mind. Then once the mind is quiet, then in that mind, the Lord shines. It is very easy to detect. So that's why Bhagwan says it is greater than all three, greater than the austerities, greater than knowledge, and greater than karma. Therefore, become a dhyan yogi, become a meditator.